It's almost a year since the World Health Organization officially declared COVID-19 a pandemic. The responses of governments in East Asia have differed markedly from those in Europe and the US. One of Asia's leading intellectuals says this shows a gap in values. Kishore Mahbubani is a distinguished fellow at the Asia Research Institute and most recently the author of Has the West Lost It and Has China Won? He joined me from Singapore.
Well, I was actually quite shocked that the traditionally competent societies in, say, the United States and the European Union handled COVID-19 so badly, with the number of deaths per million crossing over 1,000, whereas the traditionally less competent societies of East Asia, from South Korea, Japan, China, Hong Kong, Vietnam, Singapore, did a much better job of managing COVID-19 with deaths per million of less than 50. So it's amazing the difference. And so I think we should reflect very deeply on why this has happened. And I think one key reason is that the West, because of Ronald Reagan's proud claim, the government is not the solution, government is the problem, there has been a progressive defunding, delegitimization, and demoralization of government agencies, especially in the United States. And that explains why the United States has handled COVID-19 so badly. So I think the one big lesson from COVID-19 is that we should pay more attention to good governance and less attention to private markets.
I mean, you point out in your fascinating piece recently that many of those East Asian countries, yes, indeed, they have performed better. But other than, for example, Taiwan or South Korea, the other countries that have performed well in terms of suppressing COVID deaths, they're dictatorial countries or autocratic countries, aren't they?
The Western black and white perspectives of the world that says that you're either democratic or autocratic with nothing in between doesn't give you a good understanding of the very complex world that we are living in today. And so, for example, if you look at China, it is true, obviously, that China is not a traditional democracy. But, you know, if you look at the MOOC course, which I did on U.S.-China relations, one of the Asia's probably greatest historian, Professor Wang Gungwu, who used to teach at ANU in Australia, says that China has evolved its own form of democracy where the government knows that it is accountable to the people. So the fact that they don't have elections doesn't mean that they don't have accountability to the people. So I think it's a big mistake to think that the world is just going to be divided between democratic and autocratic regimes.
But you would remember this time last year, we were seeing footage of the Chinese authorities in Wuhan welding, soldering doors closed so that people couldn't get out of apartment buildings. I mean, that was the extent to which they took their lockdown measures. That isn't a good model, though, is it, for any society?
There's no doubt that Chinese did badly in their first reactions when COVID-19 came out. But to be fair, whenever a new virus emerges, there are problems and challenges. And so what you need to do, I'm glad you mentioned what happened in January last year. Now a year has passed, and you can see very clearly which countries at the end of the day have managed COVID-19 better and which countries have managed COVID-19 worse. And in the case of China, it's a mistake to think that the only reason why China has succeeded is because the government has dictatorial powers. Actually, one reason why the government has succeeded is that it enjoys a lot of support from the Chinese people. And this is not Kishore Mahbubani saying this. The Harvard Kennedy School came out with a very thorough, careful and rigorous academic study showing that the support for the Chinese government among the Chinese population has gone up from like 86% in 2013 to something like 95% in 2019. That makes it easier for the Chinese government to implement its policies because the people trust the government. And then big difference is that in the United States, even though it has the world's oldest democracy, but the people don't trust the government.
I agree that it's a false choice between, say, China and the way the United States has dealt with it. But let's look at a country maybe in the middle, a country that does have a more communitarian ethos, and that is post-war Germany. Death rates in Germany were still quite high compared with Asia. So surely there's always going to be a bias towards risk in any country that is more democratic. It is just part of the deal, isn't it? There's a bias towards risk.
Well, I mean, the exceptions to your rule are two very democratic countries in East Asia, Australia and New Zealand.
But we are surrounded by water.
I know. But still, I mean, I would say that Australia and New Zealand demonstrate that democratic countries can also handle COVID-19 very well.
You have, in this recent piece, written about an attempt to have not simply a Charter of Rights, which most countries now sign up to, and I think we're all grateful for that, but you talk about a failed but very interesting attempt to also create a Charter of Responsibility. What was that all about, and is that something that is viable as a future option?
It's not just viable, it's absolutely necessary. Let me be honest, this is not, again, Kishore Mahbubani suggesting this idea. This is the former German Chancellor, Helmut Schmidt, who suggested it. By the way, with the support of other statesmen, including Malcolm Fraser of Australia, Lee Kuan Yew of Singapore, Nelson Mandela, and other leaders. The idea is a very simple one, which goes back to, you know, traditional also Western philosophy, that with every right comes also a responsibility. And I think the mistake that the Western countries have made is to assume that you can have rights without responsibilities. And I think it's actually in the interest of the Western societies to go back and read the document that Helmut Schmidt, and he's Western, he's not Asian, has drafted. It's a very good document, and it's something that should be tabled for discussion in all societies around the world, especially the Western societies.
You also made an interesting link between the way that countries, especially the United States, have responded to the COVID-19 pandemic and the events in Washington at the Capitol on the 6th of January. Now, what is that connection?
I think the connection, very simply, is that because, again, the society has emphasized rights over responsibilities, and it has emphasized the right of the richest people in America to tilt the playing field in America in favor of the rich over the poor, this has meant that America has become a plutocracy. So when you create a plutocracy, you have a net result where the average income of the bottom 50%, 50%, hasn't gone up over 30 years. And this has created a sea of despair among the white working classes. And the sea of despair among the white working classes has created also anger. And therefore, this is why they voted for Trump. And this is why they heeded Trump's call to storm the Capitol Hill.
That's Kishore Mahbubani up there in Singapore. And there's a link to his recent essay at the Religion and Ethics Report homepage.